If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit betterhelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.
It is always this night during football season that I feel like I have a rapid heartbeat. It's time to take a deep breath and trust my notes. First of all, trust my notes. But just know that we've got 4 hours and I don't have to get it all in the first 5 minutes, which would be logistically, physically impossible. So we're not going to do that. Your host is taking a big, deep breath. Although I feel like my heart is always kind of pounding and racing as much as, say, a Tyreek Hill jaunt up and down the field because he's one of the fastest in the NFL. Though, of course, the Dolphins were not playing on this Sunday, but it was a wild and wacky Sunday nonetheless. No shortage of jaw-dropping moments. No shortage of wild swings. How about comebacks, collapses, and QB changes? Oh, my. Aren't they all like this, though? Minus maybe the QB changes. This one had a healthier dose than most Sundays. And so we are going to break it down and also nominate our candidates for Monday mortification. Because as we say sayonara to a Sunday and move ahead to a manic Monday, well, we've got a brand new poll and a brand new topic that we love. Well, just because misery and mortification loves company. And so we always nominate now and we let you choose who's most mortified as we kick off a work week and head into a Monday. Our work week starts right now. Thanks for hanging out with us. I hope you had a great weekend or whatever it was that you needed from your weekend. Mine was productive, which is what I desperately needed from my weekend. But I also still spent time watching the news and listening to the news and thinking about the state of Florida, specifically the Gulf Coast, and looking at the pictures and the videos of some incredible islands and stretches of beach that have been torn up with debris everywhere, and mostly brokenhearted over the number of people who lost their lives. More than 70 now. I think the last count was 74 in Florida, and crews are still out making sure that they can respond. There are calls for help and still various first responders and crews out trying to find people who are unaccounted for. Over 1 million people in Florida still do not have power. I had a friend in Orlando. They went for about 48, 49 hours without power and were grateful when it came back on. And so we focus on the Gulf Coast and areas like Fort Myers and Port Charlotte and Sanibel Island and those areas, thinking of some of the others like Naples and the areas that were really hard hit south of Tampa, so the southeast Gulf Coast. But man, this storm also took a toll on Orlando and plenty of people who maybe weren't expecting it to be quite as nasty as it was when it hit the center of the state and moved forward. So thinking of you in Florida, for those of you who have power back, we are happy to keep you company. It's strange still to be talking about football, especially in Tampa, as the NFL returned to Tampa and Raymond James Stadium in the wake of Hurricane Ian for the Bucs and Chiefs just a few hours ago. And after they were displaced all week, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were back in their own homes, presumably, and were back in their own stadium. And it was good. It was good for them to strike a somber note at the beginning of the game and have a moment to reflect about a state that was so devastated by this hurricane. And I know that there are many outlets and entities who are contributing money now to the recovery efforts and the relief efforts in Florida. So even as we talk about football, still thinking about those people, not just in the Sunshine State, but also in South Carolina and on up the Atlantic coast, many more people affected, still people without power and people who've lost a lot, if not everything. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We are live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, per the usual. I spend a good portion of my Sunday with a laptop and a radio and a TV and all kinds of various devices and outlets so that I can follow everything that's happening in the NFL. And I tweet so that I can remember. I know it sounds strange, but it's similar to taking notes. I like to tweet sometimes at major moments so that I can go back and see what I was thinking and what I was feeling in that moment. It's impossible for my little brain to remember all of those emotions and all of those moments if I don't write them down. So I definitely have done a lot of tweeting on Sunday, and you can find me, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page. Haven't yet done any posting, but we will. We'll ask you to identify the team that should be most mortified on Monday. And also, because it was the start of October, and because a dear friend of mine, she knows me. She knows me so well. In fact, I'll retweet. A dear friend of mine had not yet given me a birthday gift. My birthday was in April. So, you know, I had long since forgotten about it, but she had not forgotten about it. And what she wanted to do, even going back to April, was to buy me flowers because she knows how much I love, love, love to have flowers. As it turns out, we picked the perfect time for a belated birthday gift because she took me to a nursery on Saturday and let me pick out four big pots of flowers. I love fall in large part because of the colors. So I just retweeted the photo, A-Law Radio. You can see how these incredibly beautiful flowers brighten up my backyard. Also, my little bitty lilac, her name is Lila, that I planted is in the background. You can see her. She is sturdy and she is strong and she is rooted. My fall daisies are coming in too. They're still kind of spotty, but they're starting to open up as well. So just a glimpse of Casa de Lawrence, the After Hours super secret home base, and mostly the flowers that my friend bought me as a birthday present in October. It was perfect. So that's on Twitter, and I promise you I'll put them up on Facebook too, because as I was sharing the photo with people, I believe that those flowers make other people smile the way that they made me smile. And I specifically put them outside my kitchen window so that every time I'm standing there doing dishes or cooking or whatever else I'm procrastinating at the time, I can see the flowers and they will put a smile on my face. So you can check those out on Twitter, and I promise I'll put them up on Facebook moving forward. Now, here's what we won't spend a lot of time on this edition of the show, simply because this is a show that's dedicated to our football fanatics. That's you and me. I'm part of that group. And we make that pledge to you on every Sunday night, especially early in the season. Now, I know once we get into the baseball playoffs, we'll do a little more on the diamond. But at least initially, and for the most part, we spend the majority of this show on Sunday nights on the NFL and everything that happened, because it just happened. And we're still spinning like tops in the wake of week four in the NFL. But I do want to make sure you know that I'm aware, number one, Albert Pujols hit two more home runs this weekend. Of course he did. Aaron Judge, eat your heart out. Sorry, that was mean. But, you know, like, this is how the expert does it, right? This is how the old dog does it. 701 and 702. And why is it significant? Because he and Adam Wainwright and Yadier Molina played their final regular season games. Well, not Wainwright. They played their final regular season games together in front of the crowd at Busch Stadium. And if you haven't seen it, the video's on my Twitter. It's out there everywhere. Oliver Marmol walked out to the mound and removed Waino, Yadi, and Pujols from the game together. And all three of them walked off the field together. And as you can imagine, it was a raucous scene, but also very emotional. Yachty was in tears, the three of them leaving the field for the last time together. And so it was a pretty amazing celebration. They actually did honor both Yachty and Pujols before the game. So as we move forward during this week, by the way, the wild card games come up at the end of this week. Can you believe that? October is here. So we will get you set for the baseball postseason. And yes, because it makes me happy, and I know there's a lot of Pujols fans, and we certainly understand what Waino and Yachty have meant. Was it 328 starts together, which is the all-time record? We'll go back and we'll look at this weekend in St. Louis, including home runs number 701 and 702. And if I'm not mistaken, Albert Pujols also passed Babe Ruth on the all-time RBI list. And so the man is a machine. And we'll go back and we'll look at it. So that's one significant storyline from baseball over the weekend. The other is that the Braves swept the Mets. And watch out, because the Braves certainly look like they are the defending World Series champions, and they plan on putting up a fight. Anyone who wants to come for their throne, better watch out. The Braves slugged the snot out of the ball, which is, of course, how they do things. And they did that against Jacob deGrom and Max Scherzer. And they sweep the weekend to get to 100 wins. So the World Series champs are now at 100 wins. And while they have not yet clinched the NL East, this is quite a blow to the Mets. There's still multiple games to go now, right? There's three games left. But it would take a relative miracle for the Mets to win that NL East title. So that's a bummer for the Mets, who led almost the entire season in the first place spot there in the East. What was it, all but 4 or 5 days, not even a full week of all the days across the season in which they were out of first place in the East. But the Braves look like a juggernaut now. Also, we had the clinching of the second wild card spot for the San Diego Padres in that National League race. And so the way it is right now, Mets and or Braves and the Padres have the top two NL wild cards. The last wild card will go to either Phillies or Brewers. Those two teams, they have this last three games set to themselves, right? Because nobody else can win that last wild card. So one team will be on the outside looking in. Either we have three teams from the NL East or we have two teams from the Central. Everything is locked up in the American League in terms of playoffs. And I just want to say, Friday night, it was one heck of a roar coming out of Seattle. Do you know the Mariners had back-to-back walk-offs to end a 21-year playoff drought? And so we'll do baseball. We're going to get to that because the scene was phenomenal. What do we hear from Scott Servais? He promised that the drought would be over on Friday. So on Thursday, he told us the drought will be over Friday. It ends tomorrow, and I'll be damned if he didn't make that guarantee and the Mariners caused it to stand up because of a walk-off. So seriously, the Mariners are playing some of their best baseball of the year, and they are back in the postseason for the first time since 2001. I wasn't even in full-time sports radio. I wasn't in any kind of sports radio the last time the Mariners made the playoffs. And so it's quite a scene. And all of the playoff spots have been locked up now. We know about the division winners in the American League, but the wild cards go to the Blue Jays, the Mariners, and the Rays. The Orioles, a valiant effort this year, and they finish above 500, but they do finish on the outside looking in. So there's a lot there, I know. And we'll start to collect our breath about baseball and get set for the postseason once we get through week 4 in the NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Sunday Night Football began with a moment of silence and a tribute to those in Florida who are recovering from Hurricane Ian. And then off to the races for the Kansas City Chiefs, who last played in Tampa in the Super Bowl loss to Tampa.
Matthew Wright just signed this kick, kicks it away. as the Buccaneers will take it at 2 yards deep in the end zone at the 20, at the 20-yard line, slicing through and up to the 23-yard line. Well covered by the Chiefs. And now they say the ball is out. Kansas City is saying they have the football. They do! The Chiefs have recovered the opening kickoff on a fumble recovery by Elijah Lee. Trio of receivers to the right. Mahomes fires Kelce over the middle, inside the 10, 5, link to the end zone! Touchdown! Kansas City! Two plays after a fumbled kickoff, the Chiefs get a touchdown. Just the converse of the way the game against the Colts started. A 16-yard touchdown pass. Mahomes to Kelce.
Well, this is where the Chiefs like to get creative. They're going to line up in a wildcat. Jet McKinnon is the quarterback. Mahomes is wide to the right. McKinnon in the backfield. Waits, takes the snap. McKinnon will hand it off. Edwards-Helaire running right, pushing between the hash marks. Down toward the goal line, trying to get in. And he is. Touchdown, Kansas City.
It was off to the races. Why? Because Rashad White fumbles the opening kick. And Kansas City not only scores there, but scores four touchdowns on its first five drives. And two of them coming after they covered up Tampa Bay fumbles. There goes the perfect show, you know. and so the first half, you could see that the Chiefs were locked in. And we heard it after the game. We heard it during the week of preparation that they felt like they let that game against the Colts get away. That it wasn't that the Colts had beaten them. It was that the Chiefs played putrid football. And that may have been a motivation and maybe returning to the side of their Super Bowl loss. Those two things put together. Now, there is a moment that we're going to share on our social media. So on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, when producer Jay gets a chance. It is the jaw dropper of this Sunday. It's a moment that if you haven't seen, you need to see it. It's even louder and more significant than a double doink in London. Patrick Mahomes, he's magical. He's mystical. And he makes it up as he goes along.
At the two, they fake the trap. Now Mahomes scrambling to his right, holding it, gets off the hit, now lunging forward, and now fires it late, caught at the back of the end zone. Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Mahomes with the touchdown pass. His second touchdown pass of this game, the 161st of his career. That is the most touchdown passes by any NFL quarterback in history in their first 67 games.
The NFL hasn't seen anything like Pat Mahomes, I promise you that. And you saw it today. He's the Houdini of our era, man. The guy just finds ways to make plays throughout the game. I mean, big-time third downs, big-time goal line plays, just willing our team into the end zone, willing our team to win, and that's our ultimate leader, man.
Travis Kelce raving about his quarterback as a Houdini, even though he sees him day in and day
Mahomes
out
magic.
In practice. And actually, Travis Kelce hurdled a defender to get into the end zone on that first touchdown, so he's got plenty of magic up his sleeve as well. But this is the jaw dropper, and again, we'll share it on our social. Mahomes scrambles right toward the sideline. He spins out of a tackle, leaves the defender lying on the ground, moves toward the end zone, and has this combination jump, pass, push, pass. I really don't know how to describe it other than to say it was a little bit of both. He jumped, but he also pushed the ball, almost like he had, dare I say it, force powers to guide the football to Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the back of the end zone. It was the most awkward-looking pass you've ever seen. And yet, because it's Patrick, it still dazzles us. So that was the 2-yard touchdown. But it's going to be a 2-yard touchdown that's more watched than pretty much any other on this Sunday from the NFL. Pretty amazing. All the quirks, all the creative wrinkles, they were all working in the first half for the Chiefs. And they're up 28-17 at the break, actually, because Tom Brady and his offense finally found a rhythm.
Buccaneers in the red zone here. Just 5 red zone trips all year coming into tonight. Fewest in the NFL. Brady in the gun. He's got White to his right. He's got Gage to his left. Now Gage will motion wide to the right. Here's the snap. Brady back to pass. Looks, throws. End zone. Caught. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans snatching it down in the middle of the end zone. Evans with his second touchdown catch of the year. This one from 13 yards out. And with 8:50 to go in the second quarter, Kansas City 21, Tampa Bay 9 with the extra point coming up.
Evans returns from his one-game suspension. Remember, because he leveled Marshawn Lattimore in that Saints game week 2. And even as he hauls in a touchdown late in the first half, as you hear there with Ryan Radke on Westwood 1, he makes history. He's the all-time leader in yards from scrimmage for Tampa Bay. The franchise leader. That's how long he's been there. But I've said it before and I will say it again. I'm so glad he finally got a quarterback in Tom Brady who could deliver him the football and who could establish a connection with him so that we see more of Mike Evans on the grand stage, because he deserved that. Obviously has the Super Bowl ring as well. So 28-17 at the half. I'm already late because I was talking about baseball. See, this is what happens when I talk about baseball. It gets me completely derailed. So we'll get to our first break here. More Patrick Mahomes, more of the Andy Reid creative, quirky offense, and what happened to the Bucs defense. So we'll get the reaction from Tampa in the wake of Sunday Night Football. And then top of next hour, our friend TJ Reeves will join us. He worked the sidelines. I'm going to ask him his perspective on that Mahomes spin move, but also what it was like to be displaced this week from Tampa, but also to know that his state was going through one of the worst hurricanes in its history. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We're just getting started here on CBS Sports Radio.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs, ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Four seconds on the play clock now, a direct snap. And the Chiefs trying to shot forward, touchdown! They give it to Noah Gray. It's the old Blake Bell play. Noah Gray becomes the belldozer, comes over and does the quarterback sneak. Second and goal to go, Chiefs at the 10, slant. It is caught! It's caught by Jody Fartson! Rolls into the end zone, touchdown! Kansas City! Jody Fartson singled on the near side against Carlton Davis. And the Chiefs, if the Bucs can use Mike Evans, the Chiefs will use Jody Fortson.
We stunk it up last week. We all knew that. We admitted it to you. We didn't play the way we should play. And not that the Colts aren't a good football team, but you don't do the things that we did and expect to win the football game. And we're still in the, you know, in the battle for it. But yeah, you can't do those things. So the guys cleaned it up today.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Andy Reid says, we all knew we stunk it up last week. We were willing to admit it. Well, got to get back on the horse, right? And against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road where you lost the Super Bowl. No time to lick those wounds against the Colts. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Something humongous that jumps out from this game. Yes, there was a healthy dose of Patrick Mahomes and what he does to extend plays and drive the defense crazy. But the Chiefs actually ran for 189 yards. He was sacked a few times, but they were able to run the ball and possess the ball and actually dominate the time of possession with the football on the road.
They accepted the challenge. They made our team roll today. That's a great defense, great defensive line. And I think they heard the talking, and they heard the talking not only from them, but from everybody about how they didn't play well the last week. They accepted that challenge, and they went out there, and when they dominate like that, it makes my job a lot easier.
Patrick Mahomes raving about his offensive line. While everybody else is raving about Patrick, he's raving about the O-line in front of him. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio and on Facebook, so we'll get some stuff up there too. Our Monday mortification poll or question, I guess, on Facebook, so that you can tell us who should be the most mortified on Monday. I actually don't think that's the case for Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, though this was a loss, and now they're at 2-2. But the fact that they were displaced all week, I think the part that's hard to understand is how the defense could be so stingy in the first few weeks and then seemingly give up everything and anything that the Chiefs wanted to do, except there was an interception in there that did lead to a touchdown. But even with a pair of touchdowns for Tampa Bay in the second half, one coming after that Mahomes pick, they never got closer than 10 points. Kansas City was able to run the ball and run nearly 3 minutes off the clock late in the fourth quarter to kill any type of hope. So the way that they played today is an indication that they are still very much one of the powers in the AFC, as much as that West Division is going to be competitive. But what we've seen from them, at least initially, outside of that Colts game, I guess everybody has one of those hiccups, even early on in the season. Tonight, with 417 total yards, they go 12 of 17 on third down and 5 of 6 in the red zone. So what the heck happened to the Bucs' D?
We didn't play well. They did a good job, and they kicked our butts all over the field. Turnovers had nothing to do with it. We got to play situational football if they do get it down there and hold them to three at least. Our red zone defense was poor. Our run defense was poor. Our pass defense was poor. Our third down efficiency was poor.
Oh.
And we played a poor game, and that falls on me. I'll take that.
It's a team sport, so, you know, we didn't play great on offense. We didn't help them very much either. So we didn't do great in the first half. Too many missed opportunities on third down, turnovers. So tough game, tough team. You know, they're a good team, but, you know, we got to play a lot better if we want to be good teams. So hasn't been our best yet this year. Be good to see what it looks like when we do play our best. Give them a lot of credit. They made a lot of good plays. Patrick played great. They did well on third down, the red area. Won the turnover battle, time of possession, you know, because we didn't do much on offense. We left our defense out there. It's a, you know, tough on our defense to, you know, let an offense have that kind of time of possession. So we all got to get back to work and do a better job.
He's a great one, man. First ballot Hall of Famer. He's done everything in this business that can be done, and more than once. So, I mean, heck, he's been basically doing it my whole career as a head coach. I'm like 3 years ahead of him, but that's a long time. That's an old dog right there. But that son of a gun, he is so accurate, it's ridiculous.
Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, others raving about Tom Brady.
That was beautiful.
On this night, the Chiefs moved to 3-1 and the Buccaneers fall to 2-2. And while Tom Brady doesn't want anyone to blame the defense, and he's right, the unbalanced and really out of whack time of possession, so nearly 39 minutes of the 60 for the Kansas City Chiefs, makes it tougher on the defense because they're out there for so long that they're gassed late in the game. So that makes sense, but still, that defense got pushed around in the trenches. And we'll talk about it more with TJ Reeves, who covers the sidelines back and forth, up and down for the Buccaneers Radio Network. He will join us at the top of next hour. All right, coming up, we've got everything from Kenny Pickett's NFL debut to Zach Wilson's return to the NFL and his season debut. The first rookie quarterback to throw a touchdown pass this season. Definitely not who you might have expected. Overtime at Lambeau, plus a game between the Seahawks and the Lions that results in nearly 1,100 yards of offense, 93 points, and so was it 54 first downs. What? That's insane. And yet that is the NFL. We also have Cooper Rush leading the Cowboys to another win in what could be his final start, at least until Dak would get hurt again. I hope that's not the case, but Dak's getting closer to returning. We had a game in London that goes down to the wire. And some really incredible rushing games on Sunday. for teams like the Raiders, who get their first win, and the Eagles, who get their fourth win. All of it. We're going to jam it all in, just not in the next 20 minutes.
If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.
On Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Now third down and 9. Rodgers fires to the near side. Got it. Intercepted on the near sideline. Jack Jones to the 20, to the 10. Pick 6. And a lead for the Patriots.
What did we just say about Rodgers? He is off today. And he throws an errant ball into the right flat off the back foot. And what? It's feast or famine. And man, did he feast here to Jack Jones with the pick 6 in his rookie debut, his first start in an NFL game.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
So you thought this might be a gimme for the Green Bay Packers, did you? Because there was no Mac Jones. He's dealing with the high ankle sprain, despite the fact that Bill Belichick would like us to believe that he is day by day. He definitely was not playing on this day. And then Brian Hoyer is in concussion protocol after a sack in the first quarter. In comes the untested, untried, unproven rookie quarterback, Bailey Zappe, selected in the fourth round by the Patriots in last spring's draft. And it's the defense that makes that statement early on. A pick 6 against Aaron Rodgers by Jack Jones just before half, and the Patriots have the lead. A 10-7 edge going into the visitors' locker room at Lambeau Field in a nationally televised game on what was a gorgeous afternoon in Wisconsin. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Bailey Zappe seemed poised. He led a pair of touchdown drives that put New England in front twice in this game. In fact, his first career touchdown pass went to Devontae Parker. And raise your hand if you thought Bailey Zappe would be the first rookie quarterback to pass for a touchdown in 2022. That's crazy, right? But that's football. The first rookie in 2022. And when exactly did he settle down? When did he feel like he could take a breath? That is the question, right? Because with rookie QBs and really rookie anythings, your heart is racing. You need to get your emotions under control. And not only is he forced into the game after Brian Hoyer goes out so quickly, but it's at Lambeau Field. Lambeau Field. I'm telling you, it's intimidating because I was just on the field last or 2 weeks ago, week 2, in a nationally televised game. And yet he was out there and he had a job to do. So how long did it take?
Probably after like the first play. After the first handoff, kind of settled it in, everything kind of quieted down. Then I just started, you know, giving the ball to the playmakers, letting them do what they do best.
That is a great idea, actually. And they did establish a fairly healthy run game, plus the pick 6. But back and forth they went. This was a very entertaining game, unless, of course, you were one of those people like me who had picked the Packers in a survivor pool and was thinking, huh, maybe it's going to be Green Bay and New England who knocked me out. So Aaron Rodgers didn't have a great first half. You'll hear him talk about it momentarily. But in the second half, he does direct a 75-yard drive. And, oh gosh, it was the best of times and the worst of times for Romeo Doubs. Not only does he catch a 13-yard touchdown for a tie game, but he drops what would have been a game winner on a deep shot late in the fourth quarter. So instead of just going for the first down, it was a 3rd and 8, I think. Instead of just going for a first down late in the game, the Packers go for broke. They go for the home run. And Rodgers finds Dobbs with a perfect pass in the end zone, and he drops it. So yeah, it was one of those roller coaster days for Romeo. Romeo on a roller coaster. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The reason I highlight the Romeo Dobbs. I don't know why I said Dobbs, because I've been up and watching football for 14 hours. Anyway, Romeo, I'm just going to stick to Romeo. The reason I highlight his touchdown catch is because it came on Aaron Rodgers' 500th career touchdown. 500th career touchdown pass for Aaron Rodgers. I think only 4 guys in the NFL have ever achieved those heights. And so back and forth they went in the second half, and then all of a sudden the offense dries up. 5 straight punts to end regulation and then start overtime. And now nobody wants to score. Although, as I say, the Packers had the game winner in the hands of Romeo until he dropped it. Dropped it like it was hot. But it was Lambeau. And there's, 80,000 people there. And ultimately, we know Bill Belichick has a very healthy respect for one Aaron Rodgers. And he did settle in. And he's got some good playmakers with him. So 12 plays over nearly 7 minutes to set up what was a chip shot. But you know when you say chip shot, sometimes it goes horribly wrong.
31-yard field goal attempt. Here we go. Jack Coco, the snap. Pat O'Donnell on the hold. Mason Crosby for the win. Snap. Placement. Swing to the right leg. Kick to the upright. It is good! It is good! Mason Crosby has done it again! He has booted the Green Bay Packers to a 27-24 victory in overtime over the New England Patriots.
Felt like we got into a rhythm in the second half with some of the play calls. I settled in and usually don't have 2 terrible halves. So kind of returned to the form I expect for myself.
And, not usually.
And we started moving the football. Win's a win. That was an ugly first half, good second half. But we're going to celebrate this. And now the schedule gets physically demanding as far as travel.
The bottom line is, as soon as you think you have a game won before the game's even played, you a lot of times that bites you in the butt. And for me, I know it's easy for me to never go there because you have to play the game. And there's a lot of times you can beat yourself.
That's the voice of Matt LaFleur. Yeah, if you go out there thinking that the game is already yours because the Patriots don't have their starting quarterback and it's on your field, yada, 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 well, that's a surefire formula to not play your best football. Here's what I like about what the Packs did, though. 199 yards rushing. Remember game one when we heard from both Matt and Aaron that they were going to be committed to the run game? Nearly 200 yards rushing against that Patriots defense. And that leads to ball control. Rodgers 250 through the air. Couple of touchdown passes, also the interception. And then Bailey Zappe, 10 of 15. For 99 yards and a touchdown. So they didn't ask him to do a whole lot. They were relying on the offensive line as well as the run game. But what did you think, Coach?
Yeah, I thought he competed well.
Wait, what? That's it? You just thought he competed well? Huh. Okay. Well, maybe you have a little more to say about the loss overall.
In the end, Rodgers is just too good. He made some throws that only Rodgers can make. We had pretty good coverage on some of those, and he just, he's just too smart, too good, too accurate. And in the end, he got us. We couldn't quite do enough.
Does it surprise anybody else that he says far more about Aaron Rodgers than he does about his own rookie quarterback? Who twice helped the Patriots get into the lead? All right. Interesting. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. We'll have our Monday mortification poll up when we have the opportunity. And also on our Facebook page. We always enjoy spreading the misery on Monday after a football Sunday. And as much as the Packers won this game, Rodgers not happy either with himself or really with the fact that they left the door wide open, so to speak. And I was struck by something he said after the game. Again, after a win with the team now being at 3-1.
If we just get into a rhythm and start a little bit faster, we can alleviate some of the things. That's why I felt like we scored to make it 7-3. I'm thinking, we get this to two scores. Now they're one-dimensional. Now our pass rush is getting after them. So this way of winning, I don't think it's sustainable because it's just puts too much pressure on our defense. Obviously, I got to play better and will play better. But the second half is our kind of football where we're mixing it up. We're throwing the ball outside the numbers. Obviously, we ran the ball, controlled line scrimmage really well.
This way of winning is not sustainable. Where there's so little margin for error, you put so much pressure on your defense that you are really unable to come away with a lot of wins, meaning your offense has to be more consistent so there's less pressure on the defense. Yeah, it was a really entertaining game, but I can imagine stressful for a lot of Packers fans there at Lambeau and around Green Bay and Wisconsin. Now, with the change at quarterback, and we knew there was going to be a change at quarterback because there was no Mac Jones, but we also lost Brian Hoyer and went directly to Bailey Zappe. So welcome to the NFL rookie. But man, this week four was ripe with quarterbacks on and off the field. We know Zach Wilson returned, also in the AFC East, made his debut as Joe Flacco had been keeping the seat warm until Zach got healthy. Remember, there was a knee procedure because of a preseason injury. Were you expecting the Pittsburgh Steelers to make a change at halftime? Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers' offense struggled in the first half against the Jets. So same game there. And out trots Kenny Pickett at halftime, or right after halftime, to make his NFL debut. The crowd went crazy. And so next hour, we'll get to that game. The Giants actually ran out of quarterbacks. No joke, Saquon Barkley was operating as the QB in the Wildcat late in this game. Daniel Jones was on the field. And a couple times he took snaps just so he could hand off. But he was on the field with an ankle injury. And he would line up at wide receiver as a decoy of sorts. No, he had the headset on. So he had to relay the play to Saquon Barkley. Oh my gosh. So Daniel Jones suffers an ankle injury after a pair of first half rushing touchdowns. This was Giants and Bears at MetLife Stadium. And after he suffers an ankle injury, Tyrod Taylor comes in. Moments later, he's in concussion protocol, and they're out of quarterbacks. That was crazy. And then to start the day in London, no Jameis Winston. So Andy Dalton plays the entire game and puts on a show along with Kirk Cousins, Saints, and Vikings to start things off. We have a lot to get to, but back to Tampa next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You're the one who protects the flock, and that requires an eye for detail. Because when safety and well-being are on the line, it's the details that can save lives. Even when no one else is watching, you see everything. Grainger gets you, and we're here for you, and all the ones who get it done with a wide range of safety products and solutions, plus board-certified safety consultants here to answer your questions. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.